It's Friday, April 29th, 2022, and you're tuned in to the TNAB podcast. I'm Vince.
I'm Anthony.
And this is the Geek Chic Culture Show. We talk about all the cool things in the whole wide world. Welcome to the end of April.
Dude.
No more rain showers.
Time is flying.
Say hello. Oh, now time's flying.
Yeah, I'm sure there's going to be...
Now time's flying.
Yeah, now time is flying. Jesus. At the beginning of the year, time was slow. But now...
Time has just been flying. I can't believe it's already May. It's crazy. So why is time flying now?
I don't know. I had a revelation of just like the last time I hung out with my friends in Toronto.
Yeah.
For my friend's art gallery.
Yeah.
And then apparently that was like almost 2 months ago now. And I was like, hot damn, what the fuck? Where did the 8 weeks go?
That was February?
Maybe like beginning of March.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, fair enough.
I was like, what the fuck?
Wow. Yeah, no, time is flying. It keeps going.
Hopefully it gets slower.
No.
Experience everything.
No, things are just going to like rapid shot from here on out now.
Nah.
This week there's some stuff that happened, I think.
Do you remember what that stuff is?
No.
Is it updates on the Amber Heard Johnny Depp trial?
No.
Is it watch related?
Absolutely not.
Formula One?
Nope.
I don't know then.
Me either, because I didn't write down anything for this week's notes.
I noticed. I thought you were just... You're
lazy?
Just dunzo. I thought you just didn't have anything.
I don't have anything. Okay. I mean, I maybe have something. But, yeah, so I guess we could just preface that. Oh, this is another show with nothing to talk about.
Dude, can't wait for the three-hour show, baby.
Yeah. Congratulations are in order. Anthony, you have a new job.
I do. Hello.
So congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you. I am a corporate slave once again. Or for the first time, actually, because I worked for a nonprofit before this.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the first time heading into the corporate world of finance.
What are you talking about?
I work for a finance company.
Yeah, but you're not in finance.
Yeah, but I can hang out with all the finance bros.
No, you can't.
Why not?
You'll be looked down upon.
Dude.
You're in marketing.
Yeah. Hell yeah. I'll tell them how to market their portfolios.
No, no one's going to take you seriously. No one's going to take
you
seriously.
Dude, what you got to do is that you got to invest in GameStop, all right?
No, that's not how that works. Are you actually in the finance sector?
I think.
No, like, I mean of Toronto. Like,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm like. At the, what is it, Dominion Center?
The Toronto Dominion Center?
Yeah. Isn't that the finance
no.
area?
Okay,
is it not?
No, you're not. You're not.
Not well.
No.
Just
no.
outside.
No. Okay, cool. Wicked. With that out of the way, let's you know, there's some stuff.
Whoa. Hold on.
What?
Why wouldn't I get along with finance bros?
Because you're in marketing.
So? You don't think that we can unify our strategic endeavors together?
You know that my role is to bridge the marketing team and the finance team together?
Yeah. I want to hear, what's your experience? How hard is it to bridge those?
What are you talking about? Like, creative minds versus logical thinkers, they never get along. What are you talking about?
That sucks, dude.
One wants to be creative. The other one wants to say, no, you don't have the budget.
Be creative.
No.
With the budget.
No.
Find more money.
But then if you do be creative with the budget, that means that the following year, the finance people will say, oh, so you could have done this project on less money. So we'll give you even less money for the following year.
Oh, that's shady.
That's just how it works. You're not going to spend the budget, then we're going to reduce it for the following year.
No, we just didn't need it for that year.
Exactly.
But this year is different.
No.
Big plan.
No, we don't approve. No.
Damn, I'm going to have to fight some finance people. Hot damn.
I mean, it will turn into, it's just a lot of politics. But anyways.
Is it like a wrestling ring? Like,
no.
Just suplex
no.
the main accountant?
No.
Damn, that'd be sick.
No. And
listen, if my job involved like to get a budget confirmation or a budget approval, I needed to like wrestle or like MMA the finance guy, I'd go to the gym.
No, it doesn't work that way.
I think that'd be pretty sweet.
That doesn't work that way.
All right.
Anyways, cool. There's some things that came out this week.
There is.
I saw only one major event. Actually, no. There was a big event that happened this week. It's called CinemaCon.
Mm-hmm.
So, and there's a whole bunch of movie announcements that came out. However, they only were announced at CinemaCon itself and not publicly yet. Like, things leaked out, but everything that was shown is not being shown to the public.
Like, it's not on YouTube. It's,
yeah, okay. Like, it's not coming out to a later date. So, like, I know they showed off Avatar 2.
Do people still care about Avatar?
Apparently, yeah, it's a big
deal.
Right. But the coolest thing I heard about this movie is that it's being filmed in like every format, at every possible frame rate, at every possible aspect ratio.
What?
Yeah, it's like,
why?
You want to watch a movie at like 360 frames per second?
Can I watch it at 4:3?
Maybe.
480i?
Maybe you can.
Oh, my Trinitron, my Sony Trinitron.
James Cameron, is that his name? James Cameron?
I think that's his name.
Yeah, yeah. I think he's going to do it. So,
buy it on VHS.
Yeah, there's been a lot of other interesting announcements, but I'm sure those will come at us when they become more pressing. Oh, actually, Into the Spider-Verse?
Mm-hmm.
Or Across the Spider-Verse.
Okay.
Originally slated for this December.
Delayed. Nice.
6 months.
Hell yeah.
But part two got announced for 2024, so look forward to that.
How's that going to work? They delayed this one until something.
So this will, right. So the first part one will be June 2023, and then a year after, part two.
Okay.
So right. Something to look forward to down the line. My big pieces of news come from Call of Duty.
This isn't real.
There is a new event in Call of Duty Warzone.
This isn't real. I don't called believe
it. Operation Monarch.
Goddamn.
And it is the Godzilla versus King Kong event. No details are out, but I believe it launches May the 11th. And it looks like Battle Royale with Godzilla and King Kong is coming your way. How that affects the game world, I don't know. But hey, pretty cool.
Hmm.
With this, is this enough to get you back in just to sample it?
Is it still 100 and whatever gigs?
Yeah.
Probably not. Then I got no space.
But then so is Apex.
Yeah, because I have Apex installed.
Just get rid of it.
Oh my God. Blasphemy, dude. What the fuck?
Are
you actually going to play it?
I'll try it out.
Okay. All right.
The other thing is Call of Duty announced their latest entry into the franchise.
Okay.
Can you guess what it's called?
No.
Modern Warfare 2.
Remaster?
No.
Oh. They're just reusing. So they had Modern Warfare, the new one.
Mm.
And now they're having... So is this like...
Anthony, can you guess how many Modern Warfare games there are?
A lot.
And how many Call of Duties with Modern Warfare in the title are there?
Oh, six, yeah. At least?
Six.
Oh, wait. Does no Warzone count? No. Modern Warfare Warzone? Is that a separate title?
That one is a separate... I think that one originally came with Black Ops, no?
Okay. I'll...
No, Call of Duty Warzone is its own thing.
I'll go with six.
Six?
Including this new one, seven.
Okay, interesting guess. Including this new one, there is 10.
What the
Modern
fuck?
Warfare
oh my God.
Games. Can you
Jesus
believe
Christ.
That?
Think of a new... What the hell?
Yeah, would you like me to name them all for you?
Please, please do.
Modern... Okay, Call of Duty 4, Modern Warfare.
Classic, absolute classic.
Modern Warfare 2, Modern Warfare 3... Modern Warfare Reflex Edition.
The fuck is that?
Modern Warfare Mobilized.
Oh, the mobile games too.
Modern okay. Warfare Remastered. Modern yeah. Warfare 2 Remastered.
Yeah.
Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 Force Recon.
What's that?
I don't know, a mobile game?
Force Recon? What the hell?
Force, like the Force.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then Modern Warfare, the 2019 reboot, and now this, Modern Warfare 2.
Oh my God, It's a mobile game.
It's important to note that this.
What the fuck is Symbian?
What?
What? There's. It's on the game, Modern Warfare Force Recon is on Android and Symbian.
Maybe it was like a Nokia.
Symbian was a discounted mobile operating system used in the 90s.
Oh, okay.
To
cool.
Wow. What the? It's like the N-Gage.
Yeah.
This is cool.
Anyways.
I thought it was like a symbiote.
It's important to note that for this new Modern Warfare, what are you laughing at?
Symbian saddle.
What?
Symbian saddle.
What's that?
Like a Symbian saddle, like the sex toy, but Symbian saddle.
Sorry, you lost me. You lost me, man.
I'm funny.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. Anyways, this new Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, it's important to note, doesn't use a numeral. It uses Roman numerals. So it's two sticks.
Oh.
All right.
It's Final Fantasy.
A bonus question, Anthony, because you are apparently the video game expert.
It's true. It's true.
How many Call of Duty titles are there in total?
Oh, like high 20s, probably.
Okay.
Maybe in the 30s.
Including this one.
Yeah.
Pick a number.
28.
Interesting. Do you want to know?
700.
No. 47.
47?
There are 47 Call of Duties.
Oh, I guess like, yeah, Call of Duty, World at War. Oh, true. All the spinoffs, all the one.
There are 47 Call of Duties. Can you believe
Damn.
That?
Damn.
It's incredible.
I think I've played a good chunk of them, too.
Probably.
Because I played the PC ones.
I wouldn't doubt it. Popular. I'm sure you played a lot of them.
That's wild. Hot damn.
Yeah.
I was playing one of the OGs. I think it was like Call of Duty 2. Like, not Modern Warfare 2, but 2. On my OPM demo disc this week.
Why?
Because I'm working on a little something.
That people are going to see?
Maybe. We'll see.
Or just for yourself?
It's mostly for myself. I don't know if people will see it, but we'll see.
Okay. Sure. How about you tell us your picks?
My picks are quick. So we got some Final Fantasy in the news. Heads up for all you dorks out there who like wearing gamer gear.
Love it.
Uniqlo is teaming up with Final Fantasy for their 35th anniversary, and they have a t-shirt for every game, mainline game in the series, for you to buy.
Yeah, they do.
Have you seen these shirts?
Yeah, I almost bought one the other day.
I don't know if they're that great. They're okay.
There's some of them I like. Not all of them, but some of them.
Yeah. I kind of hate the 12 one, which I'm a bit disappointed in.
Oh, it's okay. That's just it's all the representative of the game.
Now, fucking dare you. Hot damn. Time to fight, dude. What the fuck?
But you know you get a special gift with purchase, right?
What's the special gift?
You get two or more t-shirts, and then you get a deck of cards.
Ooh.
I knew that would get you.
Maybe I will buy a t-shirt. I knew it. Maybe because that Final Fantasy IV one, it's pretty nice.
I like the three.
Three is pretty good. All the oddball ones are good. Like the Final Fantasy V shirt's pretty sick.
Uh huh. Just get yourself the 13. You know you want it.
13. No, I want that 13-2. 13-2. It's the only good one. Final Fantasy IX shirt kind of sucks dick. Final Fantasy VIII shirt's cool, but you should go check them out on Uniqlo. I think it's gonna be a worldwide release. But yeah, if you live in the States, you'll probably have an easier time grabbing some stuff.
I mean, yeah.
After that, the Final Fantasy 16 producer, Naoki Yoshida, has come out in the Uniqlo magazine.
Oh, no.
And he announced in the Uniqlo magazine in Japan that Final Fantasy 16 is in the final stages of production. So
I don't know what that means.
It means that it's close to going gold. We'll probably see more announcements this summer, maybe a release date. And I didn't realize this, but Final Fantasy 16... Do you remember when this trailer came out for this game?
Yeah, before COVID.
Yeah. Well, during COVID.
Was it?
September 2020.
Oh, so the beginning of COVID. Okay.
That's crazy.
No, that's about right. Tokyo Game Show.
Still. I didn't realize it was 2020. I thought it was like just last year. This is why time has been flying for me. Because I've read a couple stories and my friend said that thing about our friend's art gallery. I was like, what the hell? When does all this time go? What's going on?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so look forward to more Final Fantasy announcements coming up soon.
Yeah, well, nothing in the near future, but yeah, sure.
Well, I don't know. Summer's right around the corner. We'll see. The E3 time zone, even though E3 is not happening, is quickly approaching. So I'm sure everybody will have their own little thing to talk about, right, in their own little press conferences.
Sure.
Sony is also in the news. They hate deals, basically. Because
what?
Sony has disabled subscription stacking on PlayStation Plus.
Well, yeah.
So before with PlayStation Plus, if there was a deal or you found like a gift card or something with like a discounted PlayStation Plus rate, you could buy that year and then stack it on top of the year you already have.
Okay.
Right? So you could just buy years in advance. They're not having it. They're not doing it. Prepaid cards will work. So you can still do prepaid card stuff. So if you find a deal somewhere else with a prepaid card, then sure. But the digital one will not. I think it is too late for you to refresh on your Plus service now. I think they've already closed the deal. So, yeah.
I didn't realize you could stack on the digital ones.
I believe you could, yeah.
Because I knew you could do it with the cards. I didn't realize it was an option. Because, like, I guess I never had the reason to do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, yeah. So that kind of a bummer.
Okay.
But they are changing that whole like PlayStation Plus service with the PlayStation Now. It's like, was it non-subscriber, essential, extra, and premium?
Yeah, yeah.
Are all the tiers.
Mm-hmm.
So
they also added that other thing where games will now require a 2-hour trial for everything.
That sounds good.
I think it's on games that are, I want to say $49.99 and up only.
Yeah.
So like smaller indie titles probably won't have to.
So you can, So is this like the Steam refund thing where it's like if you played it for less than 2 hours or owned it less than a week or whatever, then
yes and no, because it's not a return. It's you get the two-hour trial.
So just every game has a 2-hour demo if it's above a certain price point.
Yes. I think the way they did it was like it was supposed to be like the price point was $35 wholesale. Mm-hmm. But I guess that when that goes to retail, I think it works out to about $50.
I'm sure that'll be tricky for like really short games too. Like if your game is like $40, but it's under 2 hours maybe. But
yeah, but I mean, I guess the window of games in that, they probably have done some sort of,
research.
Yeah, and just checked out statistics about
it. And I'm sure there'll be some, like, case-by-case basis where they can be the exception to the rule.
No, they can't.
Yeah, they can't.
No way.
Absolutely.
Absolutely not.
Hell yeah.
No breaking the rules.
Support indies, baby.
F the indies, baby.
Damn. Logical mind versus the creative mind. What the hell?
They're not making me money.
You're not making me creative, all right? You're not bringing me new ideas.
I just told you about Godzilla in Call of Duty.
That's not your idea.
That's two other people's idea, and I'm getting paid for it.
God damn, what the fuck? You're getting paid? I want to get paid. What the fuck? And then the last one I have is Apex Legends announced their new character.
They did.
It's a Newcastle.
Newcastle. That's a weird name.
It is a weird name. He is apparently Bangalore's brother.
Okay, yeah. So, like, at the beginning of this trailer, she's like, my brother's gone.
And then
like, there's this other black dude. I'm like, wait, he's right there. Like, what are you talking about? And then at the end, she's like, I know who you are. It's like, wait,
You didn't know this before?
We didn't know this before?
Yeah.
What?
So, he is a more defensive champion.
Yeah.
There's no, like, character breakdown, but there have been some skill leaks.
Okay.
People are kind of speculating what his stuff is. So, he has a portable shield on a drone. Like, you remember a Lifeline when she used to res people, they would put up that shield?
Oh yeah, that's gone.
Yeah, so that's gone now. But he has it on a drone. And apparently the drone is rumored to be controllable. So you can, like, move it in front of your people and stuff like that.
Really?
And just, like, advance with it. The other one is his passive, where when he's rezzing somebody, a knockdown teammate, he puts up a shield to block a certain amount of area, and then he can drag the body while he's rezzing.
Oh, that's his passive? Yeah,
so he can, like, bring you around a corner or something, or out of the line of
that's
fire while
cool.
he's rezzing you.
Mobility during rez is pretty good.
It's
pretty strong.
Massive.
Yeah.
That's why the Lifeline is still such a good
yeah.
thing, because, like, you just throw down the rez drone,
yeah.
and then you go around and shoot people.
Yeah.
Right? And then his ultimate is kind of like, you remember, like, the Destiny 2 tank shield where you put up, like, the waist high shield or whatever?
I think so, yeah.
It kind of looks like that, and that's what it's rumored to be, where he'll put up a big shield that everyone on your team can use. And
but it's waist high.
There's certain areas that are waist high, so you could shoot out, and then there are character tall portions. I don't know if it has any sort of, like, projectile blocking, like, what's her, the who was the Indian girl they added with the turret?
Oh, Rampart.
Yeah, Rampart. I don't know if it's like Rampart where, like, you can shoot out and they can't shoot in. I think it's just there's gaps in the shield, and then maybe it's like a permanent fixture, like it's something that doesn't go away.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So it might be useful if you're dealing with sniper fire and you're in an open field or something. You just pop that down. You have a place to hide while you figure out your next move.
Okay. Right?
But he looks pretty cool. I love playing defensive champions in Apex, and they're usually the ones I pick the most, just unless you're playing Gibby. I don't really know why you would play any of the other ones usually. Mm-hmm, so hopefully he's a more viable in the game in a team comp than like Caustic or whatever.
Yeah.
I think Caustic's good now because I think the ranked rotation is Kings Canyon currently.
Oh, is it? It's back to Kings?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's like a heavily modified Kings Canyon.
Okay. So like Unshackled Event or something.
Yeah. Yeah. And so there's a lot of indoor areas there. They have that whole like bunker in the mountain thing where it's like you get a Caustic in there and the whole place is booby trapped and stuff. So. We'll see. He looks cool. I'm playing more Apex, and those are my picks this week. It's kind of slow otherwise.
Apex. I wish I understood what the story is whenever we see these, I guess, character reveals.
Yeah, you got to, like, read the comics that are in the Battle Pass and shit, and I'm just like, I don't care.
Yeah, like, it's just
too much work.
Because, like, I don't know how they link together, because I can never tell who's a good guy and who's a bad guy.
Yeah, because in this one it was like Loba and Bangalore were hanging out, but then like the Reaper guy or the robot guy,
yeah,
Revenant was at the bar too, yeah. Just chilling. It's like I thought he killed someone's like Loba's dad or whatever.
Yeah, that's what I don't understand. Like it was, I don't know.
Maybe it's like the power of friendship, like the anime shit, where it's like all the villains become friends.
But then like at the same time, and specifically this trailer, they call out the fact that they're playing a game.
Yeah.
Like it's an arena shooter.
Yeah.
And she's like, this is my last one, blah, blah, blah. And then, so that got me thinking like, oh, so they're all really just like cool with each other.
Yeah.
And some of them just have a bit of an attitude problem.
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know.
It's, I just wish there was more clarity. Not that it matters on this game. This game is all about the shooty. So
mm-hmm. The one thing I actually did forget to mention was they're adding a PvE element into the game where maybe like a year and a half ago, they added like those little drakes that kind of fly around and you can shoot them down to get loot options and stuff.
Yeah.
They added like a raid boss monster in the game. So apparently in this new map, in this new season, there's going to be like a giant monster that will appear somewhere, and then maybe you'll get something if you take it out.
That sounds cool.
Yeah.
That sounds cool. Yeah.
Maybe a bunch of like the red weapons that are out of rotation. You can only get them from special drops and stuff. So
I'm down to see it.
So we'll see how it goes. Cool. But yeah, that's Apex, and that's my news picks for the week.
Cool. So with a question to Chew on.
What's up?
Paul Chew writes in, two questions since I missed last week. First one has a lot of background, but the question is actually short. This week, I decided to check out Waifu 2022 and watch My Dress Up Darling.
Little bit of a presumption there.
Actually, side note, I have, against my better judgment, started watching a couple episodes of the current anime season.
Yeah.
Let's just say there might be some other contenders.
Interesting.
There could be. I don't know if they're as good as this one, but there could be some. I heard good things about the dub, so I watched it in English. It was a decent dub, but the dialogue they wrote for Kitagawa was just filled with trendy language. Nearly every episode had her saying things like, she's OP as hell, or that was totally lit, or that she was a stan for a certain cosplayer, etc. I fully acknowledge that part of this just because I watched the dub instead of the sub. I also want to clarify that I understand the reasoning behind it to further show the initial social gap between super popular Kitagawa and the ultra-traditional Gojo, so I do understand it from a narrative standpoint. My question about this is, how do you guys feel when the media you enjoy uses anything that is super trendy? This can certainly be in reference to clothing, language, etc. To me, for a slice of life anime that deals with following your passions and believing and being yourself, the reliance on the trendy almost seems limiting. The anime has a chance to be one of those evergreen examples that will stand the test of time based on the theme alone. My worry is that in this case, the language will seem dated in 5 years and will result in people writing it off. How do you feel that, Anthony?
I think I would agree.
You want things to always be timeless and evergreen?
I don't think I want things to always be timeless and evergreen, but I think that when you decide to... Actually, you know, let's just start back. Okay, I'm going to start back at the beginning where he talks about like all the trendy language and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think if he would... I kind of feel like he didn't like it almost. Like he gets it, but he didn't really enjoy it, I guess.
I think he's more worried about how this will age. Like, he won't be able to recommend it to somebody later on.
Yeah. When you local... Like, so the thing is like, that is not a translation. That's a localization, right? Because Kitagawa in the show, she is trendy. And the way she talks in Japanese is trendy. So I guess that's one way to, like, get a... Like, to show the English speaker, like, hey, she's using lit, OP, and all this stuff. Because she's a trendy gamer, right?
Hell yeah.
Just like us.
A sweaty gamer.
We're a sweaty, trendy gamer.
No, we're not a singular sweaty, trendy gamer. No. Got to clarify that.
Form one. Like Voltron, baby.
No, thank you. No.
And yeah, so I guess that makes sense of why they would choose that. And I don't know if in this specific example, I don't know if they would have had a choice otherwise.
Okay.
Like, I don't know how you translate that, or you translate her like hipness without using that kind of stuff, because like Japanese is very literal.
Yeah.
Right. But he is, I do believe he is right that if you want something to be evergreen, the reliance on what he says is trendy or just like modern day language or idioms or jokes or references puts your piece of media in a time capsule permanently.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when you go back and watch. For me, I like some old stand-up comedy. So if I go back and watch Rodney Dangerfield, a lot of his comedy still hits today because his jokes are very... It's about a situation and it's not about the era he's living in.
Yeah. Right?
Where when I go back and I watch maybe... Or I've recently heard some old Dane Cook stand-up.
Yeah.
And a lot of his stuff is very timely. Right? Mm-hmm. It's some event that was happening at that time and it doesn't... like, it's not funny anymore because A, I lived through it and it's not in the zeitgeist anymore. And then B, it's not funny to other younger audiences or newer audiences because they don't know what the hell he's referencing.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah, I would agree that you can't have an evergreen piece of media if you rely on a trendy dialogue or references and stuff like that. I just don't think it's possible.
Yeah, I think I would mostly agree with you. Like, if the goal is to be evergreen, then yeah, I suppose you can't. But with this anime in particular, this specific example, I don't think, one, that's not the goal. And two, just based off of the subject matter, the whole point is to be a snapshot in time, right? Like, that is where this show takes place. That is what we're doing here.
Modern day Tokyo.
Yeah. Cool, like that cosplay. is the whole thing here. And that doesn't mean it can't, like, there's evergreen and there's timelessness. And then there's when media is just a classic, right? Mm-hmm. Like we can list off many classic pieces of media that are absolutely of their era and would not make any sense today, but we still like them, enjoy them, respect them.
Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift. Hell yeah, brother.
I fucking knew it. I fucking knew it.
Dude, he admitted it. It's a classic. Hell yeah.
No, I mean, it's a classic to losers, but.
Dude, we're all losers here, dude.
No, we're not. I'm cool.
Yeah.
I'm so cool.
I see what shirt you're wearing right now. You're not that cool.
I'm the coolest.
Oh my God.
I'm the coolest. And yeah, so like in that sense, I think it's okay. Because like, especially as, and I mean, I think, Paul, you probably understand as well, as you are into, like, the toy collecting scene. And, like, a lot of us in that scene love shit from the 80s. None of that is at all timeless.
Yeah.
And yet we can still view that era of media and content as classics that we all enjoy and still recommend. Like, and my favorite example to always bring up is the amount of times I always hear people recommend things like Back to the Future. Nothing in those series makes sense today. Right, like they
old
just
technology,
they're absolutely not evergreen, not timeless, and yet we all still love them to this day. Well, I mean, I don't, but like I know that
the thing for me is like I think Ghostbusters are cool, but there are people who have a huge reverence for Ghostbusters, right? And that's like one of the most 80s thing that exists, right?
Yeah.
But I it's hard because like the stuff that does make it through the culture grinder. Right, it's not, it's like a super distilled, like here's the thing that was the most 80s, or here's the thing, Friends, it's the most 90s, right? And it's not necessarily representative, I guess, of everything that came out then, and just a lot of it gets lost to time. And if you do want your thing to last time, I feel like you do have a better chance at not relying on that stuff, right? Because you might just get thrown under the bus with X many shows that did the same thing as you, right? That someone thinks it's better.
Yeah, right? I don't know. I think it's absolutely a case-by-case basis. I don't think you can just say, like, if you want things to be permanent forever, that you have to go super evergreen or whatnot. In fact, in the second part of his question, he asks...
Oh, yeah, let's get onto that one.
If reliance on being super trendy and of the moment is limiting, I would say no. I think it's the opposite. I think if you're trying to be timeless, you invariably already put up. You gotta stop doing that. That
picks
up.
Oh, is it doing it?
Yeah,
oh, okay.
That picks up. It'll.
Oh, my foot touched.
It'll. What do you call it? If you are trying to be like this timeless piece of content or media, I think that invariably puts a box on your creativity already, because now you can't explore further out. Right? You're kind of just there. You have to rely on a certain subset of themes and whatnot that can't go too specific. And yeah, for sure, there's definitely an argument saying that if you go and be very of the moment of the times, that yeah, it will age badly.
Mm-hmm.
But to that I say, so what? That's just how things are. Like, that's how things are of a certain time. It doesn't mean you can't enjoy them. Look at Jurassic Park. Dinosaurs are not viewed the same way as they are in Jurassic Park.
Mm-hmm.
Yet we all still fucking love Jurassic Park. Right.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think it would be, in my situation, I think I'm coming at it from the stuff that has survived and the examples you're bringing up, to where it's like you don't have to limit yourself to being evergreen, or like they're exceptions to the rule.
That's what I mean. I mean, I think it's case by case. I don't think you can blanket one way or the other. Like, I don't think that's
evergreen content only, bitch.
Like, no. Like, what, like, because every, like, for a good example is every generation has their own, like, coming of age movie.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
And
arguably, each generation's movie is the same movie.
But they all.
With a different coat of paint.
But they're all, yeah, but yeah, that's true. And yet they all kind of hit differently because they're of an era, right? Mm. Like, I think the one that we were growing up with was Superbad.
Yeah.
Have you watched Superbad recently? That is not a relatable movie today.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And yet, I would still say it's still an awesome movie. And I think a lot of people would say the same thing of, I'm blanking on it now. Shit. I forget.
Breakfast Club?
That's the one. Yeah, The Breakfast Club. Yeah. But, like, I don't know. I think it's okay. I think it's okay in that if in 5 years from now you're wondering if this show will age bad, maybe it will. But I think that's okay. If a show is good, a show is good. I don't think it's going to be too much of an issue for most people.
Yeah. And also, who's going to watch the dub in 5 years? Oh, nobody. God. Come on.
Oh, God.
Sub gang?
Oh, God. His second question. A couple episodes ago, Anthony mentioned that he was a diehard Ninja Gaiden fan.
True.
That's how you say it, right? Gaiden?
If you want to be a weeb about it.
Ninja Gaiden?
Yeah.
What other things, franchises, would you say get your diehard fan status? Doesn't even have to be nerdy. What is your differentiator between being a big fan and a diehard fan? Hmm. This can certainly be a distinction from person to person, so this is just for each of you personally.
I think...
So first of all, what other franchises are you a diehard fan for?
Probably JoJo.
Fair enough, yeah. Right? You'd have a tattoo.
Yeah, like Quentin Tarantino movies. I think I'm a diehard fan of Quentin Tarantino.
Okay, yeah.
Metal Gear, Devil May Cry.
That's interesting. Like. For as much as you like character action games in Metal Gear, you almost never talk about Revengeance.
Because...
Oh, say it. Say it.
I think that the gameplay in Metal Gear Rising Revengeance could be better.
Oh,
you know,
God, it hurts.
Dude,
I can see the look on your face. It just hurts for you to admit that.
I love that game. All right. And I love everything that came from it. All right. Memes are the soul of the whatever, all that shit. Fucking Sam with his gun katana case. Yeah, like that shit slaps.
Yeah.
But when you actually fight people, I don't know, like it's kind of just God of War with cutting.
Wow.
Yeah. Ooh, I don't know. I'm
have to remember that. I'm gonna pocket that.
Yeah. God of War with cutting.
That comment. I'm going to use it later. Yeah.
I like the cut tech. It's cool. Get my spine juice, baby.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But
yeah.
I don't know. Like Bayonetta, they did better games with better combat engines. I just wish they'd used it. And you know, that team is the team that did Babylon's Fall. And maybe after learning that, I wasn't so surprised at how Babylon's Fall turned out. But yeah, I think to answer his question, to transfer from like a fan to like a diehard fan in my mind, is you got to know or do things beyond the first layer of like liking something.
What does that mean?
So, like, if I watch Kill Bill,
yeah,
I'm a fan of Kill Bill. I was like, oh, I like that movie. I watched it maybe like once or twice. I really like Uma Thurman. You might reference a scene that you think is cool and stuff like that. And like, you're a fan of the movie, right?
Okay.
But if you're a diehard fan of Kill Bill, you might know like, oh, in Kill Bill 2, Quentin Tarantino, Pai Mei is like an old Chinese kung fu thing from the 80s, and the guy who plays Pai Mei in this movie was actually the guy who killed Pai Mei in an older 80s movie, right?
Yeah.
And you would know all the background lore of that kind of stuff. Or like for me in the case of JoJo, like I love JoJo. I collect all the manga. So outside of just watching the show, I collect all the manga. I got a fucking tattoo of the birthmark. I bought some volumes in Japanese.
Yeah.
I follow like Araki's whole like career when he had the crossover with Gucci and stuff.
Mm.
And so you kind of go like the levels deeper, right? Where like a level one fan would just be like, I like the show. It's cool. And I watch it once in a while. Whereas like a level 2, 3, 4, until you're like fucking King Otaku.
Yeah.
Of like whatever it is you're a part of.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
I think that like that's the differentiation for me.
Yeah. I think things I'm a diehard fan for.
Transformers, dude.
Absolutely.
You love toys.
I love Transformers.
New review coming soon.
No. Actually, my voice is on the internet somewhere else right now for someone else.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. You got to link that later.
Oh, it's not, it's nothing like I'm not I they literally asked me for a favor.
Link it later, dude.
I don't know when it is. They haven't linked it to me.
Okay, give me the raw file. Give me the uncut footage.
So I would say for me, Transformers, obviously, and contrary to popular belief, I still fucking love Gundam. Gundam is very cool. Mm-hmm. We all know I love Overwatch. Have not stopped.
You have a literal diva chair, like a $700 office chair.
It's not $700,
dude. Have you seen fucking Secret Labs chairs now? I think that's like a $700 chair now,
dude. This was like $350. No, $400.
No,
is inflation that bad?
Inflation might be that bad. I'm gonna you keep talking, and I'll go find the chair.
Okay, yeah. Mass Effect. I love Mass Effect. We all know this. I think for me, the differentiation between a big fan and a diehard fan is the minute you go and do something or take an action that is outside of the original interaction you had with that media. So, for example, if it's a game, if I do anything related to that game that isn't actually playing it,
mm-hmm.
For example, if I were to buy an office chair because it literally had an Overwatch character, dude, that I played, then absolutely.
The diva chair,
yeah,
currently is $710.
Is this the Titan XL?
This is the Titan Evo.
Oh, okay, I don't have that one.
Okay.
I have the... Because the Titan's their bigger one. I think I have the smaller whatever.
I thought the Omega was their bigger one.
No, the Titan is bigger.
Okay.
The Omega's the... That's what I have, the Omega.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, every time, like, for example, I watch a Transformers show and I'm like, oh, God, I need to have some toys. And then I need to also know, like, who designed this toy? Like, why did this happen? Why did it work this way? I love watching that kind of stuff. For example, Hasbro lately has been doing these sort of, I don't want to call them, like, developer diaries, but they give a little bit more insight onto the creative process behind why certain toys were made the way they were.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that stuff super fascinating, just from an engineering standpoint. But it's something that you would need to have fun with the actual toy in hand. Same with like the Lego design docs, when like the creators or the, I guess they're called the master builders, talk about their creations and how they came to these decisions. I find that stuff very interesting. So for sure, Mass Effect, I bought artwork of Mass Effect. I have books for Mass Effect, all that kind of stuff. But yeah, that's what I would say. I think the minute you go beyond just consuming the thing you like in its original form, I think then you become a diehard fan. I think if, yeah, I don't know. Also, I think it depends on how much money you spend.
Yeah, you think there's
I think there's a direct correlation with how much you are a fan of something with how much money you decide to throw at it.
So are you telling me that I'm not a fan of Transformers if I don't spend $1,000 on a masterpiece, ultimate?
I'm saying you're not a diehard fan.
All right. Okay. Feels a little gatekeeping. I don't know what to tell you.
Look at me, master gatekeeper.
See? Listen, I told you, gatekeep your hobbies, kids.
No. That's what I'm saying. All I'm saying is you're poor.
It's even worse, dude.
I remember being those kids.
Bank account shaming?
Dude, I love... You know, up. I remember being... when I first got into, like, all this stuff.
Yeah.
I remember being a teenager and you'd be like, oh, God, I'm so poor.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Even as like, a secondary student, right? Yeah. Just like, God, I wish I could buy stuff.
Now that, like, a lot of... So my hobby of game collecting has gone to the internet.
Yeah.
Right. I go on the game collecting subreddit and you can tell when a post is written by like a teenager or like a younger kid. Cause it's like, oh man, I went to this thing and they wanted this PlayStation 2 game for $20 and it's only $15 on eBay. What a scalp. What a scam, dude. It's like, dude, fuck, I just paid the $20. Like, what are you doing here? If you're stressing over $5, you shouldn't be buying this game. I don't know what to tell you.
You know what? I have those same feelings, but this can sound even worse. But like when I see people with sales threads and it's like, oh, these ones are like $2 and $3. I'm like, dude, you're selling shit for like $2 or $3. Like, who even cares?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, if you're hurting that much to,
I
like,
guess the hope would
else,
be it would be a bulk buy, right?
But I guess so. But like, if you're like trying to squeeze, like, if you're like, yeah, man, $2? Yeah, I can do that. Like, maybe don't be in the hobby.
Yeah.
Like, I hate to say that like that because I really don't want to be gatekeeping because I do think you could have fun in any hobby at any level in terms of like how much you want to spend. But if it gets to the point where... You know, you're struggling that much.
Yeah.
Just chill.
If it's in like a convention, I can see that. You just have a box and it's like, here's the $2 grab bag. Anything from this box.
Oh, no, that I get. Like, but when it's like online,
yeah,
like
eBay, $2.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's like, come
yeah,
on,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
Like, okay, let's figure this one out.
Fair.
Right. But yeah, there you go. Die Hard fans. What are you going to do?
Yeah. You're going to become one of them.
I am one of them.
Yeah, so am I. All right. Become a part of the elite crew like us.
Oh, okay, that's not what the messaging here is.
And remember, just as Vince said, if you're not a diehard fan, you're poor.
Oh, shit.
Okay? So just remember that.
I think the most diehard fans, though, are the ones who go off to create their own fanfic of the thing that they love. Those are the most diehard.
But that costs no money.
It costs time.
Time is not money.
Is your time free?
My time is absolutely free. What are you talking about?
You're worth nothing, man. You, sir, are worthless.
How long have we been doing this podcast for free?
Listen, you are worthless.
At a loss? Literally at a loss?
You are worthless.
All right.
I do it for the people.
Oh, my God.
I do it for the people.
I do it for me.
Sure you do. Anyways, diehard fan. I am a diehard fan of Overwatch, and that is why this week I've been playing the Overwatch 2 beta.
I thought you didn't get into this.
Of course I got into it.
So you just lied.
Of course.
Wow, what a lie. He's lying in our Discord. Ha, damn.
I didn't get in originally.
Okay.
I just simped to Pokimane for a couple hours and I got in after.
Oh, did you actually?
Yeah.
Ha, damn.
Yeah, so I watched her play for a bit. I was like, fuck, I want to
play
this.
Did she have the natural curls or was she straightening
straight
hair? Oh, straight.
Straight.
I like curly hair Pokimane.
You like Moroccan Pokimane.
I like Moroccan Pokimane.
Yeah?
Because she's Moroccan my world. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, my God.
God damn.
Oh, my God. Dude. I don't know. I'm more into racially ambiguous Pokimane, so there you go.
Racially ambiguous. Hit me with the fusion Pokimane.
That's the one. Fusion Pokey, please.
You have been blessed by Fusion Pokey. May your next Pokemon trade be well.
Give me that shiny Pokimane.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, so I've been playing the Overwatch 2 beta, and it's been interesting because, like, they use more or less the same engine and assets from the first Overwatch. Mm-hmm. That surprises nobody. So, like, from a visual standpoint, there's some small changes, but nothing too crazy. I think the one thing they did is they added the ability to do... Have you played a game yet with AMD FSR?
No. No, I have not, because I don't have an AMD...
You don't need an AMD card.
Oh. Then yeah. I guess I just haven't.
Because you know how, like, the NVIDIA has... what the hell do they have? I forget what it's called. DLSS?
Mm-hmm.
AMD has their equivalent, but you don't need an AMD card. You can do it on any game that supports
it.
Okay,
all right.
So they added that to Overwatch. So if you wanted, like, if I guess if
ultra
you had one of those,
smooth.
Yeah, if you had those monitors that did like 260 frames, you could do it easily now.
Okay.
So that's the major addition they added there. They changed up the sound design completely. Like, it sounds so cool. If you have a nice set of cans,
yeah,
this is a very, very,
very
cool,
dynamic sound.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. It's kind of wild, and it's you could like pick out everybody's special attack.
Look at this guy. He researches audio for like a month, and he's like, cans.
Oh,
using
come
the
on.
Lingo, dude. What the fuck?
I think that is that stretches all the way back to the 80s, man. All
right,
all like, right. No secret. Hi-fi tech has not changed in like 20 years. So, there you go.
Okay.
The flow of the game is definitely not... Well, it's very much similar to Overwatch, but it feels like the motivations have now changed. Like, this is closer to an esports deathmatch game. Not
really.
Not deathmatch.
Quake? Bring back Quake?
Okay. Deathmatch is wrong. It's still a little bit...
Never mind. Think about it. Hold on.
It's an objective shooter, but there's less of... Like, everyone in their role are definitely way more focused in their role.
Okay.
As in, like, you won't have, like, those questionable supports where, like, they can't heal. Why are they a support? Right? And all DPSs are strictly DPS.
Okay.
Like, I think Soldier can still heal, but beyond that, everyone else is more or less a damage character. So, for example, McCree used to have this flashbang. He doesn't have it anymore, right? So, like, CC doesn't exist for a lot of DPS. Instead, they have been given, like, a secondary way to deal damage or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Bridget with her shield, that stun, that powerful, it doesn't stun anymore.
I heard, so that was the big change I heard, is that they took out a lot of stuns, and the fact that it's only one tank now makes the games much more swingy, I guess.
Absolutely.
Is what I heard.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, like, the supports, like, Bridget, like, there's no stuns, there's no CCs, and there's way less shields.
Hmm.
So, there's a lot of, like, unless you got a Reinhardt there, you don't have to worry about a shield in your way. Like, Winston has a bubble still, obviously, and Sigma has his floating shield, but. Mm-hmm. The idea that, like, this was a game full of shields is gone. All
right.
So it doesn't feel like it stagnates for a long time. And it's good, right? All the DPSs have a passive now that just makes them move faster all around. I forget what the tank one is. Oh, they just have increased durability, I want to say. Okay. And all supports now have auto heal, like self regen. So it doesn't matter which character you are, you have self regen that's everywhere.
That's needed. Hell yeah.
And it's good. It makes certain characters more viable and less. Like Zenyatta got the rough end of the stick there. Like, because Zenyatta effectively got nothing.
Because he's just in the middle.
Yeah. But people like Ana, wicked. Because now Ana can stay alive, we'll say, a bit better.
I heard Canada Lady's insane.
So I played Sojourn. I played almost all of the Sojourn. The character's a beast.
Because her, when she hits her bullets, it charges up her rifle, right? Like her fucking railgun.
And you do not have to wait for your railgun to hit 100 before you shoot it.
Ooh.
So you can shoot it at anywhere above 10%.
Nice.
And it has Pierce. Spicy. But what makes Sojourn dangerous is that slide.
Okay.
That slide into Super Jump is, if you get real good with it, you can just flank immediately everybody. But of course, the jump makes you vulnerable because you're just in the air and you have no utility up there.
When you jump, are you locked into your arc or can you adjust it?
You're kind of locked. You're locked into your momentum.
Okay.
So you kind of have to be in a certain way, but the momentum comes from the direction you choose to jump in and then you go. So there is a little bit of control, not a lot, but you have a little bit of control there. Orisa is insane.
Mm-hmm.
The new Orisa is insane. No one really plays Doom Tank.
That's all I saw on Twitch was Doom Tank.
From all my games, no one's really playing Doom Tank just because
like if there's a pit, Tank, you just knock them off the ledge.
Yeah. But I think like in push scenarios, Doom Tank is harder to play just because you have to stay there. There's a new game mode which is effectively like push the cart, but both teams have the opportunity to push the cart. Okay. And it's more like a tug of war. So you push it one way, the other team can push it back the other way. And then whoever reaches the opposite side first wins.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what it is. So far, I'm digging it. But it is Overwatch. Like if you don't like Overwatch, I don't think there's anything here that will sway you. That said, if you want more of like a faster paced gameplay that's a little bit more focused, this might be the something for you. I'm not too sure.
Okay.
It really depends. Like if you just like killing people, then I think Overwatch 2 will probably be up your alley more than Overwatch 1.
Because
in Overwatch 1, there's even if you couldn't aim, there's always characters you could play that made it feel like you were still participating and contributing to the thing. This one, there is more of a reliance on just being a sweaty gamer, like straight up hit your shots, you know, your abilities are way more focused on damage rather than setups and utility.
Mm-hmm.
Like there are still those characters, but I wouldn't say it's like every character anymore.
So I heard that maybe the theorized reason what this change happened is because of kind of like the failure of the Overwatch esports scene.
For sure.
Yeah, where they like change it to a more fast-paced, kill-heavy game because it's more exciting to watch.
But you know what? That probably makes sense. Like, this definitely feels like a game that has way more of a focus on its competitive edge or on the competitive scene. They even went to change a lot of UI details in that before Overwatch used to have like the flame or the fire system or the metal system. Like if you had the most kills, you had gold kills. They took all that away.
Yeah.
They just gave you a standard scoreboard now so that everyone can see. And they finally showed you or they showed everyone how many times everybody in your team has died.
Ooh.
Right. So they just showed you all the damage, all the kills, deaths, assists. So everyone now knows who's carrying who on what team.
That's crazy.
So I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I personally like the way Overwatch did it in terms of their stats screen.
It just definitely turns it into a non player friendly experience. It's definitely going to be the guy at the bottom of the leaderboard is being like, hey, step it up or you're out of the party, bitch. Like we'll kick you. Like,
pretty much. Yeah, that's basically what it becomes now. And that's what I mean when I say that it is far more focused on the competitive esports scene. I'm super digging it. Like I'm loving it. But I do want to know, like, I'm curious to see more of what's going to happen. Obviously, this is the first beta. They haven't introduced everything yet.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's a lot more because there's no way that this game has been in development for so long for this to be it. Right? There's got to be more to it than this. So.
Okay.
Yeah, but otherwise, that's all I've been doing. This past weekend was my girlfriend's birthday, so like most time I just
so you got her to play Overwatch, and you're like, babe, check this out.
No. She and actually the beta launched on her birthday.
I'm gonna need you to cosplay as D.Va.
and to her credit, she's like, do you want to just play that all day? I'm like, no.
Damn.
No.
What a real one. What
yeah,
a
she's
homie.
Like, she's like, I know how much you want to play. You can just go play. I'm like, no,
dude,
I won't do it.
What a
I won't
homie.
Do it. But she's like, okay, well, tomorrow you better go play. I'm like, okay.
Dude, what a homie.
So, yeah, that's all I really did. And then I had some work functions and blah. Not really much else going on. Like, I've been.
I heard you went out to the ball game. How was that?
I know you're such a
big baseball fanatic.
Bro, I went to the ball. I went to two ball games.
You went to two ball games?
I went to the
that's like 36 hours of sports.
I went to like the Blue Jays game, and then I went to the Raptors game.
Oh, my God.
One of them won. One of them lost. Raptors are out of the NBA. So
wait, what?
I mean, out of the season.
Oh, I was like, they're not a team anymore? What the fuck?
But yeah, I didn't realize that the Jays had a Japanese and a Korean dude on the team.
Yeah. Yeah, they got some imports, baby.
You know how when the players come out for the batting, they have a song that plays?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what the Japanese ones is?
Dude, is it the song from Kill Bill?
No.
Okay, what is it?
It's Rick Astley.
Is it really?
It's Rick.
He picked that? Yeah. He picked Never Gonna Give You Up? Yeah. That's hilarious.
I heard it. I'm like, no fucking way. Like, this man's a legend. This man is a legend.
All right.
And he's wearing the tightest pants.
Of course.
It's hilarious.
Listen, if I had a ball player's physique, I'd be wearing tight pants too.
I mean, let's be real. I don't know.
Baseball players, they got cake. I don't know what to tell you.
There is not a baseball physique that I can pinpoint because there was a lot of different levels.
Yeah, it
of
depends
physique
on your
there.
Depends on your position.
Yeah, anyways.
Or you want thighs of steel? You be a catcher.
Yeah, but anyways, yeah, the Jays won, so it was fun to see that. Yeah, that was my week.
All right, cool. I'm gonna start off just quickly with some MTG.
Command the baby.
Magic the Gathering. So I told you guys earlier, but I went to a EDH night. Down at a new board game store in our city.
Did you?
I did.
Okay.
I did.
We went to a board game store in the city.
Yeah, it's the same board game store.
Oh, okay.
It's the same one. So I went down there on Wednesday. Yeah.
Yeah, that's Commander Night.
That's Commander Night. And yeah, when we went down the weekend, he was like, hey, come for Commander. We're doing all this stuff. I'm like, sick. All right, I'll come. Showed up. My friend group is not as casual as we think we are.
Okay.
Because we played with some truly casual players and I fucking rolled them like to a point where I was like, I kind of feel bad or like the other part was like the whole table had to go against me to like knock me out.
You should feel bad.
I guess. I guess. So that was kind of renewed my love of EDH because I don't play it that much.
I wrecked some noobs and suddenly I loved
the game
more.
Yeah, I loved it more. And I was like, you know what I should do? I should make a meta deck.
No.
Maybe I should. I don't know. Because the lands are expensive. I don't know if I'll get that crazy. But I wanted to talk about some cards that came out in the new set. So there's a new set that's called the Streets of New Capenia. Capenia? I forget. I don't know how to pronounce that.
Capenia?
Capenia. C-A-P-E-N-N-A.
I have no idea.
Capenia. Mm-hmm. It's very like Art Deco theme. Very like BioShock 1
mm-hmm.
style. But there's three cards. One of them I actually managed to grab from the night, from the EDH night. So this one is called Titan of Industry, right? It's 4 mana, 3 green. Seven mana for a 7/7. It has trample and reach, and it has this effect. When Titan of Industry enters the battlefield, choose 2. Destroy target, artifact, or enchantment. Target player gains 5 life. Create a creature that is a 4/4 rhino, green rhino warrior token and put a shield counter on a creature you control. So shield is a new mechanic in this series where it is a temporary indestructibility, basically. So if something were to hit my 7/7 for 7 damage, but has a shield counter on it, the shield counter goes away instead, and then he's vulnerable to the next one.
Got it.
Right. I learned that in my deck, I have a card called Ilarg the Raze Boar. Okay. When he attacks, I can put in a creature card from my hand, tapped and attacking, and for that combat. And then at the end of that turn, I take that creature and put it back in my hand. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Titan of Industry's effect is when it enters the battlefield.
Oh, I see.
So every single time I attack with the raised boar, he enters the battlefield. I blow up an enchantment and I put a shield token on something, and then he goes back and I repeat the process. And that was such a nutty interaction. Highly recommended. But the main one I wanted to talk about is this new card. It's actually causing, they're like wondering, should Halo Fountain be banned in EDH?
Banned.
Oh, so Halo Fountain is an artifact. It's a 2 colorless and 1 white. It has 3 effects. 1 white mana, tap, untap a tapped creature you control, create a 1/1 green and white citizen creature token. Okay. 2 white mana, tap, untapped 2 tapped creatures you control and draw a card. And the last one is 5 white mana, tap, untap 15 creatures you control, you win the game.
What? 15.
15.
Oh, wow. So 15. You need, like, tokens on the field, huh?
Yes.
Okay.
So here's the thing. This card is kind of, people are wondering about it because token doublers exist and token commanders exist.
Yeah.
And they have made a white card that fucks with what they call the color pie.
Yeah. Right?
So certain characteristics, certain keywords will only appear on certain colored cards. Right.
Okay.
So green has a lot of trample. They're usually big in the butt type cards.
Yeah.
Red has a lot of haste. Okay. White has a lot of like first strike, lifelink. Black right, has death right. touch, all that stuff. But Halo Fountain is a mono white card that does green shit, right? Because it creates tokens. It makes you draw cards. It wins you the game, literally. And people are kind of like, this is
fair.
Really dumb. Because there are cards in Commander you can use, like Cryptolith Rites.
Yeah.
Which is an enchantment. I think it's only like 3 mana. And it's all your creatures have tap this creature, create 1 mana of any color. So if I create 15 tokens and I tap them all and then I pay for the cost and I untap all of the creatures, I win the game. And there's a lot of room for abuse. And from that, I was like, I'm going to make a token deck.
Just going to do it, huh?
So I've been drafting out Arist the Redeemed green-white token doubler. He's one of the very few 1 mana commanders. And his mana is a hybrid green-white, so I can pay with either white or green.
Very cool.
And he's crazy. One of his skills is just create a green-white elf. And his other skill is for each token creature token you control, create a copy of that creature token.
That's one of his
abilities.
Oh, wow.
It's like 6 mana.
Oh, okay.
But commander, right?
So yeah.
You ramp up. You get some mana doublers. You got some mana dorks or like elves. There's a couple elves in there, which is like create green mana for each elf you control.
Yeah.
Right? There's an infinite combo with this. What's the one card? It's an equipment. I forget what it's called, unfortunately. Umbral Mantle. And it's 3 mana untap a creature.
Okay.
So instead of a tap symbol, it's an untap symbol. And it says when this card untaps, you create or you give this creature +2/+2, right? But if you have a mana dork on the field that's generating at least 4 mana every time you tap it, that's infinite mana.
I see. I see where the problem is.
Right. You see where the problem lies. Hmm. It's a really cool card. I definitely want to buy it and try it before it gets banned. But hopefully I can create this wrist deck soon enough and it'll be...
Sorry, is this... Oh, this is not a EDH deck. This is just a regular...
No, this is a commander deck.
Oh, okay.
Right, yeah.
But it'd be banned?
So they're saying that the Halo Fountain might get banned.
Oh, for commander?
Yeah, if the commander committee sees it as too crazy. Just because it breaks so many rules in what you consider would happen with an MTG card.
Yeah. Okay.
So I just think that's cool. If you guys are into MTG, go check out the new set. There's a lot of spicy monsters in there. It seems really fun. And there's actually a lot of, there's a set or a type of EDH called Popper. And Popper, you can only use uncommon cards and below rarity. So only common and uncommon. And that makes it a little less nutso and also much more affordable to get into the game. And there's a lot of good like Popper commanders in this set. I would recommend checking it out.
Cool.
And then the other two things I did were gaming. I played some Apex, played a little bit of Apex, went back to that for some reason. I was just like itching for a shooter.
Okay.
And I've been playing on the controller.
Where though?
On the PC.
Oh, why?
because the Amos still exists.
Yeah.
On the PC, and I just wanted to try, right? Because I was like, hey, you know what? I'm shitting the bed with this mouse and keyboard combo, right? Let's try the controller. Let's see how it goes. There are times I don't even think I'm aiming, and I hit people. Like, I don't feel like I have to aim.
Dude, you should play on PlayStation then.
Dude, the wingman on a controller is crazy. Oh my, I can't hit shit with the wingman on keyboard and mouse. When I play that shit on controller, I'm hitting a little bit more than like 50%, even at a decent distance.
Damn.
Right? That I didn't believe all the kids complaining. Like, oh, it can't be that. It's
always been like,
damn,
that.
Son. Damn. There's some mobility stuff I can't do, like in terms of like jutting through the air and doing like a lot of quick turn shit. Like you can on a mouse. I can't just like whip my mouse around at like 700 DPI.
Yeah.
Do whatever. But I am so much more consistently hitting people in Apex. And since I last played that game, people have gotten very good at Apex. Like people who are silver are playing like in the gold league of what I used to play in.
Uh-huh.
And stuff like that. That game has evolved in ways that I cannot imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's doing movement tricks. It's nuts. They're all like bunny hopping with shields and stuff. They're like shield hopping and stuff. It's,
yeah.
The floor is much higher than it was before.
Listen, go back to console.
I guess.
Yeah. If you're going to be on a controller, go back to console.
But it's crossplay, right? Doesn't matter?
No, because it still fixes you on the PC pool.
Okay. All right.
Because, like, let me guess. When you're playing with controller, you could still move the mouse.
Yeah, well, yeah, I can go, like, just...
So it'll count as keyboard mouse. Yeah.
Okay.
But if you're on console, then you have the controller pool.
Maybe I'll hit up the PS4.
Because I know the PS5 and the Series X just got updates.
Mm-hmm.
They're next-gen Apex updates.
What does that mean?
I think they support higher res, faster frame rates, mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
Oh, that was my other thing. You're probably not going to care, but PlayStation 5 finally got a variable refresh rate.
Who cares?
I do, because my TV supports it, so I want it.
It's the one percenter problems over here, hot damn.
Don't be poor.
You know what else got to update?
Uh-oh.
My PlayStation 2.
What?
So, Vince, you know, I played Apex. I was playing Ninja Gaiden all week, and I remembered something you've been telling me, like, just for the past, like, 2-3 weeks now. It's just like, Anthony, you could be playing new games. You could be playing games you haven't played before. And I'm like,
whoa. New games and games you haven't played before are not the same thing.
They're new to me. And so, wait, I was like, hold on.
Can I ask you a question?
What?
This is a new game to you.
It is.
Was it shrink-wrapped?
No.
Ah, then it's not new.
But I haven't played it yet.
I don't care.
So, I listened to the wise words of Vincent Sanchez, and I was like, you know what? I will play a new game, right? I'll play The Legend of Legaia 2 Dual Saga on the PlayStation 2.
Why?
The Legend of Legaia is a game that came out...
Oh, I know. I know.
Why are you such a hater? Dude, relax. What the hell? This is a game that came out in 2001.
Yeah, this game is old as fuck.
It was under the Fresh Games label. The same people who imported Mr. Mosquito. Mm. Everyone's fan favorite, Mr. Mosquito. Right? It is a turn-based JRPG.
Not a good one.
Dude, this game fucking slaps. I don't know what to tell you.
The PS2... The pinnacle of the JRPG library.
This is one of them.
You somehow managed to fish out one of the shitty ones.
Dude, I don't know what the fuck everyone was talking about. So when I went back and I looked at it, I was like, I've always wanted to play this. It looks cool. And I went on like Metacritic and shit, and it has like a 67.
God damn,
and like,
you're such a hipster.
Right? And I was like, it can't be. Like, it looks cool. Bro, this game fucking slaps. I don't know what the hell anybody is talking about here. This game, how it works is, instead of choosing...
Could have chose Tales of the Abyss, but you went with this one.
Dude, Tales games are butt. All right, wow. Tales games are booty.
Could have picked Suidoken 4.
I don't have that one, but I could probably...
Oh.
I could... Wait, no. I have it on backwards compatible on the PS3.
Grandia 2.
I do have Grandia 2. That's actually was going to... It was between this and Grandia 2.
Oh, you chose wrong. You chose wrong. Wow.
I did not.
Yes, you did. You're going to put in Grandia 2 and be like, ah, fuck, Vince is right. This is way better.
But this game is still good. Okay, so it takes place with this guy, Lang, All right, you're the sleepy main protagonist, you know. You're good at stuff, but you're lazy, sleepyhead type of thing. And you live in this small town that has like a ancient crystal that gives you fresh water. Like it just produces water out of thin air and it floats above a lake in your town.
I need that.
It's fucking sick. And then one day, you know, you're training out to be a warrior. You know, you finally turned 18. Yeah, you're finally four. All right. Yeah, you finally turned, I think you're 17 or 18.
Yeah.
So you're finally an adult and now you can help out as part of the town's army to protect it from wild beasts and shit. So you're out there, you're doing your stuff, and a man with gold eyes appears in the forest while you're hunting, and you get into a battle, you can't hurt him, zero damage, nothing can touch him. And he's like, oh, you have the crystal in your town, and blah, blah. He steals your crystal. And it turns out that Lang is a part of a group of specific people called a mystic, and mystics can control the power of the origin. And origins are basically, they're just stands. Like, you have JoJo stands.
Yeah.
All right. And the origins are all, they all represent part of the Earth's, like, I guess, like, main elements type of thing. So, Lang's is fire. One of your teammates is earth, water, or life is one of them.
Yeah.
And then you keep going down the elements.
Yeah.
And blah, blah, blah. And your goal originally is to get the crystal back from this gold-eyed dude. And eventually you learn that he is the ultimate villain, and he's trying to create a world where he's going to exterminate the normies and only mystics can exist.
Okay.
And that's his whole goal. And then you go off on your little adventure to do whatever. Mm. The thing I really like about this game is the combat system. So in a regular JRPG, you get into a menu, you press attack or magic or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
In this game, you still have some origin attacks. They're usually pretty heavy hitting and they're heavy on mana usage. So you want to use them for like very dire circumstances. But your attacks can summon arts. So every character, when you go to attack, you'll get arts blocks. So there's little, like how many actions you can take per turn.
Okay.
And you have to press like on the control pad. So up, down, left, right. And depending on the combinations you put in. So if I do left or right, down, right, that'll be a special art. And there are three types of arts. There's a normal art, which gains you AP. There's super arch, which expends your AP.
Okay.
And you do like a multi-hit attack. And there's hyper arts, which are like just devastating attacks. And they take up a bunch of AP. But the cool thing about this is that your skills can overlap. Okay. So say I have a skill that is down, up, up.
Okay. Okay.
And it gives me 16 AP. There might be another super art that is up, up, left, right. But because you have up, up already in your bar, the skills overlap.
Oh, I see. So can you get them both?
So you can get them both.
Oh.
And then because you gain the AP in the first attack, you expend it in the second attack.
Oh, right? Okay.
And you can set up your attacks to overlap on each other to fit like three or four arts in one attack and just do like absolutely devastating damage.
I see.
It's a very fun mechanic to play around with, especially because all your arts are kind of just like hidden. You got to experiment with different directions and what to do. And then even once you unlock a bunch, the experimentation doesn't stop because then you can find like what is your favorite optimal route per enemy. Because the directions matter. So if I'm facing a giant, right, anything is going to hit. Anything, any direction I put in is going to smack him in the face, do whatever. But if I'm facing a slime, left, right, and up, it's over. It's done. But they're not useless because certain arts may hit low. And if you put in a missed attack, you might overall do more damage, even though technically only low attacks hit this enemy. So there's actually a lot of strategy involved in like just random battles and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of kept me going. I think I put in like 20 hours already, and I'm mowing through it.
No,
this game's good. I don't know what what everybody's talking about. This game is very good. I really enjoy it. The characters and stuff, it's all like your kind of PS2 classic, like super colorful characters, a lot of wacky shit happening left and right. There's There's one, you know, like the whole panty shot anime trope. Yeah. Right? Like cute girl, oh, up your skirt or whatever. There's one character in that game who's a villain, but she's a little on the chunkier side, right? But she still wants to dress up like a cute petite girl, right? She's a princess. So when she puts on a skirt, the skirt is too short because she's too fat, and it's always showing you a panty shot. But because it might not be something that you would want to see on that type of a person, it just plays into that comedic aspect even more, right? And there's,
how do you know that's just not her character design? Like, that's like,
no, that's her character. Her character design was made like that to have that joke happen.
Right? Oh, like they joke about her being too fat?
Yeah, like they joke in like the clothes she wears and stuff like that. Oh,
okay.
Or like other characters who are just like, oh, I'm the guy who lives in the mountains and I'm the karate, and they like totally poke fun at that shit, just being like a guy who only cares about kung fu, like you're not civilized and blah blah blah. And everybody has their own like colorful quirks, basically. And it's when you progress through the game, you learn more about other characters and all the wacky stuff that happens. It's really cool. I like it. I don't know why this game only got like a 70. This game slaps 100%.
Doesn't sound as good as Tails.
You don't listen. Tails is a dog.
Tails, right? Is exactly what you just described, but better in every way.
I've literally never played a good Tails game.
They're all good,
dude.
They're all listen, good.
I've played exactly one Tails game. Oh god. And it was bad. That means they're all bad.
Like Yakuza 3, right? And dude, how the whole series is bad? How fucking... Absolutely. Dude. Yes!
God damn!
Got him!
Dude, how you gotta do this to me? What the fuck? That's fucked up. All right. Listen, if you play a good Yakuza game, I'll play a good Tails game.
Nah, it's not what worth that? It.
It seems like
it's not worth my time.
Dude, what are you talking about?
I'll just know that I'm enjoying the better
you
games.
You play Yakuza 0, and I'll play the Tales of Arise. How about that?
No.
Because I played Azealia. It wasn't hot. It wasn't that good.
Azealia was good.
My friends who are also Tales fans agree with me. They say it's not that great.
I mean, it's good. Is it better than a 5? Absolutely.
Is it better than what?
5.
Tales 5?
No, like 5 out of 10.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. But Legend of Legaia.
Oh, God.
I like this game a lot. So I'm playing it on my PS2, and I'm playing with the HD cables that came in.
Yeah.
Game looks crisp, baby. It is the crispest 2D polygon, or sorry, PS2 polygons you've ever seen.
Gross.
Because so I got the Hyperkin cables. Mm-hmm. And so how it works is that it goes from PS2 to a converter box.
Yeah.
Which has to be externally powered, unfortunately. And then out to HDMI.
Wow.
And you have the choice of either 16:9 or 4:3.
How does it do? Is it just letterbox it?
Letterboxes it a little bit.
I don't know if I like that.
It feels like a little stretched. Like it's. I pick 4:3. I think it's the optimal way to play.
But then
that
is
stuff.
It really 4:3, or is it skinnier than 4:3?
It seems actually 4:3.
Okay.
Yeah, it seems actually 4:3. And it looks really nice. It upscales onto my computer monitor really well. There's no like visual noise or anything. Like these cables are really good. And the only time I've ever used their product before is on the PSP HD cables.
Mm-hmm.
And I've also had nothing but good things to say about that.
Okay.
So if you're a retro head, check out those Hyperkin cables. They're really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And that Legend of Legaia 2. Game's pretty good.
Don't do it.
Game's pretty good.
Watch, guys. Next week, you're going to try and recommend Baten Kaitos to you.
Dude,
all.
Baten Kaitos fucking slaps. I don't know what to tell you. No, I'm going to come out with a... Oh, do you remember Rad?
Yeah, I remember
Robot
Rad.
Alchemic Drive.
Don't.
Hell
no,
yeah, brother.
No.
That's what I found that game like a couple years ago. I gotta play it.
What a waste of money.
What are you talking about?
What a waste of money.
Dude, what are you talking about? Control my robot with a remote control?
Oh, God.
That sounds fucking sick. Hell yeah.
No.
So, yeah, I don't know. I've been playing these PS2 games, and I'm just surprised at how well some of them hold up. So, if you can get past the graphical fidelity of it.
Yeah. Is this game have voice acting?
Oh, I forgot about that. Does this game have voice acting, Vince? Hell yeah, it does. And it's the best.
Okay, so it's real bad.
It's so good.
Okay,
oh,
so it's bad.
Oh my God.
All right.
This is in my wheelhouse of so bad it's good voice acting. And it makes everything better because every character is so cartoonish that their bad voice acting kind of fits with this scenario.
So now I know this game truly is really
bad.
This
game is sick.
I mean, it falls into your wheelhouse, though. You, you're a bit of a contrarian. You like things that are...
I'm not a contrarian.
Yeah, you are. You think things are cool on the contrary.
No, I think things are cool when they're cool. All right? And then some cool things slip through the cracks. All right? Maybe the right people didn't review it at the time.
Dude, you like things more if it's less popular or less good.
That's not true.
That is
I
your
like
whole
things.
Story.
I like things. Because then sometimes...
Because then you come on here and bitch about how the things you like aren't more popular.
And then some things...
And the truth is, it's because they were bad.
Bro, what are you talking about? Okay, the perfect example, Yakuza. Oh, God. All right? I bitched on this thing for how long? Like 10 years that Yakuza slaps and Yakuza's sick. And oh, lo and behold, Yakuza was always cool. Get the fuck out of here, all right? I was there when Luke Skywalker. Oh,
so now you don't like Yakuza because it's right? cool.
No, I love Yakuza even more because it's cool. But I'm telling you that I told you this 10 years ago. Why didn't you believe me when the Star Wars guy was voicing Kiryu, all right?
I did, and I played Yakuza 3.
That
shit game.
You played the worst one. You had unfortunate time. Even I would have said
10 years ago, I listened. Dude. I played Yakuza 3.
Dude, it was bad timing. It was bad timing. Yakuza 3, the original Yakuza 3 was a bad game.
Listen, it sucked.
I listen. I'm telling you. Sega fucked up the localization on that one. 100% Hundo P. Mm-hmm. I agree.
Mm-hmm.
But then 4 and up, shit started slapping. 1-2 on the PS2. Awesome. And then 3 is the dark horse. Nobody really likes. Nobody likes to talk about that anymore. Right? Nobody talks about Okinawa.
Mm.
And then 4 and up is fucking baller. Fucking slaps, dude.
Okay.
Right? Try Like a Dragon. It's a JRPG.
I got too many things in the backlog.
Dude,
You're not
doing anything. Your girlfriend's letting you play video games on her birthday. You got so much time.
Yeah, Overwatch. I got Overwatch
dude,
to play.
Just delete it. It's over. Dude. You're going to play it eventually.
Dude. Dude. The bug has, you know,
ugh.
It's bitten.
That's
disgusting. I'm in.
I think I'm going to probably be playing some more PS2 games lately. And that thing I've been working on is the reason I've been playing like the old Call of Duty and stuff is because I've been using the cables to finally archive OPM demo discs.
Oh, my God.
So I'm playing
God.
Through a whole demo disc,
oh
recording the footage, and then hopefully I'll upload it. Somewhere eventually.
Oh my God.
Dude, the tips and tricks sections, so sick.
Oh my God.
I watch all the trailers.
But you know what?
We play
you
through all the demos once.
It's cool. Everyone needs a hobby.
It's fucking, dude. OPM
it's
demo
cool.
discs are cool.
It's cool.
We got Saul with a hot tip for aggressive inline.
God, enough. Enough of this torture. God damn it. All right. Next time you're like, listen, next time we're like, we're going out, you're like, I can't. I'm fucking.
I'm archiving demo discs.
I'll be like, yeah, I get it. Cool. Yeah. All right. Next time.
it's been good. It was either that. It was either I was going to play another PS2 game or I was going to try Metal Gear Acid.
Jeez, you've been saying that for years.
Now. I know. I should eventually do that.
Game's great. I thought you were Metal Gear. I thought you were Die Hard.
But it's not canon.
That's why that makes that game the most Die Hard
yeah,
Metal
that's
Gear.
That's why
game.
I 100%ed Portable Ops.
That game's too canon.
Is it canon? Is Portable Ops canon?
Portable Ops is canon.
No, sick. Hell yeah.
Acid is not.
Yeah. So here's the real question. All right. I got the 3D glasses for Acid 2.
You better use them.
Should I use the 3D glasses?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't use your cables. You got to use the PSP screen.
I think I might be able to.
Can you?
Because the PSP screen isn't 3D. It would just output the 3D image for the glasses, right? I would imagine.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's not like it's a 3DS where the screen itself
no,
is 3D.
No, but it was made to a certain dimension.
I'll just play on that dimension. I don't know. We'll see.
Okay.
We'll see.
Speaking of like Sony peripherals that are going to die or that have died, I heard an interesting take that the PSVR 2 is going to be the next Vita.
Really?
Yeah.
It's going to be super sick and then no one's going to buy it.
I mean, it's not going to be that sick.
The Vita's sick. What are you talking about? God damn. What a hater.
The sickest thing about it, they deleted.
Where's Rex? Me and him got to just.
You guys just play those fucking like Miku games.
I don't play the Miku. He plays the Miku.
That's
game.
Why he has it.
I'm playing Muramasa the
he's
Demon.
He's not playing
like,
games.
The
he's
definitive
playing, he's
edition.
Miku song and dance titles. I don't even know what that genre's called. Again.
Rhythm games.
That's the
dude.
One.
Rhythm games.
That's how in touch I am with my music.
Damn.
Yeah. Geez.
So wait, why would it be? What was the? You said the best thing they deleted?
The OLED screen.
I have the OLED version.
Yeah, but they deleted that.
They didn't delete it. You just got to buy an older version of the system.
Yeah, they're like, revision. Let's delete the best thing about this system.
They did a reverse switch. I don't know what to tell you.
Exactly. What? That's some ass backwards thinking.
If you got to be an early adopter, you know?
That's brutal. What?
So I don't know what to tell you, dude. As an early adopter of most things, right? God. Just listen to me when I say things are cool.
I just don't believe
you. You'll be on the bleeding edge.
No. I'm on the bleeding edge for a lot of other things. The Sony peripheral gaming devices is not one I need to be on.
Dude, just wait until I buy the PS3 two-player, one TV screen. Remember that thing?
Yeah, I can't believe you didn't.
I should have bought that. I saw it at Best Buy for like $100 at one point.
Yeah, they went real discount.
I should have bought that shit.
I'm surprised you didn't.
That and the Vita TV.
Oh, yeah, they didn't have that. The
little desktop box there.
Yeah, I forgot about that one, yeah. That one was less cool, but yeah, sure. Yeah.
But yeah, that's my week. My week is retro chic, dude.
Unfortunately, yeah, it is. Oh, did you see the thing on the pocket? What the fuck is that?
The analog pocket?
The Playdate.
The Playdate? That thing looks cool.
Yeah, the wind up.
Yeah. It's like crank powered. Yeah. And yeah. You can download buy a bunch of indie games from the store and stuff. That thing looks really cool. It's a lot more interesting than I thought it was going to be at, like when they announced it.
Yeah. Now that I've seen more stuff on it. Turns out you can't buy it even if you want it. So
of course.
Who cares?
Limited edition, baby.
Apparently you can. Like, it's just you'll get it next year.
Yeah, it's like the analog pocket. I'm going to get mine Q4 this year.
Yeah, so there you go. Whatever. Neato, Bandito. Actually, I have to cancel that.
What? The analog?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I'm buying an exhaust, baby. And springs.
Dude, what are you going to have more fun with? Exhaust or the analog pocket?
The exhaust.
Dude, come on.
I'm going to wake up my neighbors every day being like that fucking asshole on the street.
Do we have noise laws here? Like,
There's a certain threshold, but you know, cold starts on winter mornings are never going to be fun. 6 a.m.
Can't you get, I saw recently that you could get an exhaust with a bypass.
You can.
So you can turn it off when you're in the residence and then when you're the car meet.
Yeah. Ideally, I would want one that the resonator only happens above a certain rev range.
Rip 'em.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah.
The rip 'em.
Who's called it the rip 'em?
That's all cool kids are saying. I'm ahead of the curve, dude.
God,
you gotta make up your own lingo.
Not even in Tokyo Drift. I'm do at 5,000 rip 'ems. No, they do not call it that. Oh my get god,
because I'm ripping them, man.
Absolute disgrace what to society.
The fuck,
jeez. And you're in marketing. You're gonna try to get fucking rip 'em.
Dude, I'm gonna get. That's gonna be it. I'm gonna work for
Stop
Toyota.
Stop saying fetch. All right.
I'm gonna get rip 'em, dude. It's going to be sick. Creative minds. All right,
thanks, buddy. Goodbye, everybody.
Rip 'ems.